I'll be reading the scripture from Romans 12, verses 4 through 13. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. The message says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And again, the message says, be inventive in hospitality. I like that as well. Blessings, Steve, as you have the sermon.
Morning, everybody. It's not that we're going back in time from PowerPoint to a flip chart, but later on I do want to start a list that will keep going for the next couple weeks. My hope for this morning is that this message starts a conversation here and kickstarts some prayers for our church. So even if with all that's going on, if you can't feel like you can fully invest, at least hopefully you can hear enough to be part of this conversation and prayers that will be ongoing from this point. Just want to start with this question. What is Whitmer Heights known for? If you thought about what does the community say about us? What do we say about ourselves? What are key characteristics of our congregation? I know for me, when I saw the advertisement for that you were searching for a pastor, just from that page, I recognized that's the church that I pass sometimes that has an association with the ministry to deaf individuals. And I knew Joe Miller, who's here as the contact person. That was the one connecting point that I had. So some people know us through those connections. Maybe our children play Little League out back. They're the church that meets in that former school in East Lampeter. But more importantly, how are we recognized for our ministry gifts? What would others say about us? And especially this morning, I want us to think, how would we identify the gifts that have developed within us for ministry? So that's the big question this morning. How have we been specially enabled as this congregation to bless those who enter in here? How do we bless each other? How are we a servant to the community around us? And I'm trying specifically to use the word gifts primarily and not strengths, although that's going to be thrown in as well, and it's clearly a word that we could use. But gifts indicates that we have an awareness that these characteristics that we have been nurtured by the Lord. They're a gift from above by God's grace. We've been shaped by our Creator. We've been shaped by our Redeemer. And we want to express those gifts to other people. So just stepping back, bigger picture, what I hope to do over these next 3 weeks is, first of all, to look in the past and then to look at the present situation, and then to look in the future. And so today is a bit about the past, or what strengths, what gifts have been developed within us that we're carrying into this present season. Just like when you searched for a pastor, part of that process was looking at what education I had, what my past experiences have been, whatever kind of ministry strengths that I have to bring into the present situation. Doesn't say anything about how we might collaborate in the present, but what's being brought into the present from the past. So I want to think about that as a congregation. How have we been nurtured by the Lord? How have experiences brought forth various strengths within us that we can further think about today? How can we develop these? How can we implement them into our ministry together, into the world around us? So I want to start this conversation by thinking about spiritual gifts that are given to the individual. The scripture has a lot to say, like including Romans 12, about various gifts that the Spirit enables people to have in order to do ministry. So spiritual gifts are abilities given to us by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they're developed in our lives by our Creator in a special way. Just like yesterday, April and I went to Longwood Gardens, and there's all these different plants, all these different flowers there, all a unique expression created from above. And the same way in the church, all these special abilities, even if we could all claim similar gifts to another person, we're going to express them in a very special way. And again, let's think about that as a church. How have we been shaped that we will have this expression of the Christian faith and the Christian life that's unique to us, that blesses those who enter, and that bless our world? The other thing about them is that they're meant to be pulled together. We don't trust in a few people to be super Christians to accomplish all of these, this ministry for us, but we pull them all together to be this amazing expression of God's love and God's truth. So just think about that. I have this here. This is what Paul listed in Romans 12 as various gifts that people are enabled to have that are added to the ministry of the church. So just with that there, you might look down that and say, I especially have become aware that that is something that the Lord's nurtured within me. So how do we recognize these gifts? Again, we'll think individually, first of all, but then we want to recognize as a church what special strengths that we have. For one thing, these abilities that we have can just be nurtured naturally as we grow up, things that you become aware of in your life. I like what Ruth Haley Barton says in her book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. She said, think back to your childhood. Think back to a time before you were looking to earn a living, before you had something to prove, before you had to fit into certain social parameters, when you were just free to be yourself. What came out of your life? What do you notice about your life? And she gave some examples. I just want to read through them. A little boy loses himself for hours taking things apart, putting them back together. With great care, a little girl crafts a 3-point sermon, and then she presents them either to her family or on a makeshift pretend pulpit to imaginary people out there. A little boy routinely slips away from the noise of family life and spends hours lying in the grass, looking up at the sky, dreaming up stories and dreaming up scenarios that one day might become a greater expression in writing or in speaking. A little girl puts on puppet shows and plays for family and friends. A little boy's fascinated with color and textures and is endlessly combining them with pencils, paints, and Play-Doh. And a little girl plays soccer, hockey, and football with the boys before she learns that it usually doesn't work that way. You know, all these ways, these are just examples of just how these expressions just naturally came out of these young boys and girls. There's times that spiritual gifts in us, these ministry abilities, are recognized by other people before they're recognized by us. I don't know if anybody, if that's anybody's story, where there's something that was recognized by someone else and you were tapped on the shoulder to consider, look, I notice how you care for little children, or I notice how you so clearly express yourself, you know, and feel encouraged to bring that into further reality. Sometimes it's by experiences that we have, maybe unexpectedly, we find in the midst of those experiences that we're able to do things we didn't know we could do. When I was in a sophomore in college, I felt drawn, led to apply to our local church camp, Camp Menelan. And when I kind of looked at myself, I said, what I have to offer is I'm going to apply to be the recreation director, if they have one. That's what I think I can do. And the director just posed the question, how about being a camp counselor for one of our boys' cabins? And that was really the start of being a pastor. You know, that experience of teaching, of caring for this group of boys in this cabin really started this journey towards being a pastor, even though in 2 months I was going to start physical therapy school. So the Lord's at work in all of this to help us to recognize over time what in the many ways he might be calling us to serve him. So we might be surprised sometimes just in circumstances that we're empowered to pray for healing. We're empowered to go encourage somebody to serve in a particular way that we never would have dreamed that would be me doing this. But the Spirit has led me and empowered me to do that. So I just bring this up to say, you know, we need to keep our eyes open to look for these opportunities. Who am I? How am I being shaped? How am I part of the greater ministry of the Lord above? We could also think about, as personally, as we're thinking about how I might be able to express whatever the Lord's been developing within me, you could think of those four areas that we've named of our church, the area of worship and of growth and of service and of caring. And if you just think about those four areas, which one of them just most naturally reflects who you are and what you have to offer? April and I were talking about this past week. She's becoming part of the care team. And she had the big black three-ringed care team binder. Some of you may know about. Just information that goes way back. How far back do you remember, April? Okay, in the 80s probably. So there's that aspect of what's the job description, or what are the responsibilities that I should be thinking about, maybe in this particular role. Then there's also the aspect of, in this case, being given the responsibility or the opportunity to care. So here's the congregation. How can I help care for them? You know, how might, in April's case, how might I uniquely do that that's different from how Rose did it, or how Lois did it, or how Jan and Eileen do it? You know, what's the unique expression that I will use to care for people? You know, which really gets to the heart of recognizing and using the gifts that we have. And that's why, like in Romans 12, I picked that one out in particular, because it talks about not only recognizing the gifts you might have, but to practice them wholeheartedly and with excellence. So like, if your gift is to prophesy, do that in accordance with your faith, or trust that the Lord will give you the grace you need to accomplish that particular ministry. If it's in giving, give generously. If it's leading, do that with diligence. If it's in showing mercy, then do that cheerfully. You know, so it's offering this service in a way that is wholehearted and excellent from all that we have. So just to kind of summarize what we're talking about individually, just this need to recognize our gifts. You know, recognize what is maybe not fully formed in us, but what we can continue to nurture and have the Lord nurture within us. And then unleash that according to the gifts given to us. And to do that wholeheartedly. So I'd like to take all that and think of the same things as a congregation as a whole. You know, how have we been formed and shaped and strengthened for ministry? How have we recognized that already? How can we continue to recognize that, further develop it, and put it into practice in this season of our church life? So I've been trying to, like last week I posed the question in Sunday school. I looked back at the, during the search process, there's a profile of the congregation that was given, like a self-description of who the congregation is. And just hearing conversations, these are some things that I've heard, and this isn't coming from me. This is what I've heard you say, and just the identity I hear us taking on. I at least want to start a list of ministry strengths that we have been developed within us that we can take into this new season. And so I started a list, but I hope, you know, this will be around during our meal. I'm going to find a wall somewhere where we'll post this. We can add to it. Just because we add something doesn't mean that's the gospel truth, but we want to pull these ideas together and consider what are our strengths? And kind of do that leading up to our conversation on November 10th. So let me just, I was worried not everybody's going to see this, so thanks for sitting in the middle, everybody. I know that was to show support to the mass, but it's also helpful that we can see. So let me just explain some of this. Welcoming relationships. And it was interesting knowing, you know, I know this already. I've written it down. But I'm sitting there hearing everybody talk about Ernie and think about how a lot of this would apply to him, how he exemplified our congregation. But welcoming relationships. Relationships are important here, and a sense of welcome seems evident. And one thing that our congregational profile said 3 years ago is, or no, I'm sorry, this is in our church covenant. One thing I noticed about our church covenant is it's very explicit that it's important that we retreat together. Again, just that time to build relationships. And what I noticed about our retreat 2 weeks ago with a number of guests is I really think they felt very welcomed to be part of that group the other week. So that appreciation for worship music. I know last year when we were thinking about a special role for Tricia in worship music, and one of the things that came up in that whole discussion is this is a key area of our church life. Being able to connect with God through music, through worship music, is a high value that we have. Responsive to one another in caring. Just, you know, when there's a need, people are there for you. That's really clear about us. Willingness for open conversations. I know the times when I've tried to share about more difficult topics and we've had Sunday school discussions, there's a real respect for each other and an openness to share with one another, to wrestle with some things. These last two especially came out of a conversation I have Friday with Paul and Mary. I visited with them and I asked, you know, this church really, it formed up in the 70s. And so what was going on in the 70s? What was the congregation all about in that time as we started? And, you know, that kind of what got built into our DNA, maybe for the future even. And what I heard from them, and I said, Paul can be free to add any thoughts to this after I explain. But in the 70s, it seemed like a time where many people in the Mennonite world in Lancaster County, this congregation was a place to come with maybe some wider boundaries on what worship could look like, more of a freedom again to have open discussions about theological issues instead of maybe feeling like it just was spoken down from above. And so there was, and Paul going to Princeton at the time and bringing back like a broader theological understanding and letting that come out in sermons that drew people. And maybe some of you, like, that's your story. You can relate to that. And just being able to maybe worship in some newer, more creative ways, having other people come to the pulpit and preach, even females. And then having a lot of younger adults come with a lot of skills, getting them involved, and it almost became an incubator for leadership to go from here. So, you know, the whole culture of the area may have changed since then, but what in all of that has kind of still been a part of that, huh? You know? Paul, do you feel like you need to say anything in addition to what I said? Oh, okay. So anyway, those are some things that I've heard that I wanted to start this conversation with. I'm just wondering if there's something really obvious that I've missed that you feel like even right now we could put down here and take note of. But again, this is here that we can keep adding to it over the next few weeks. Anything that anyone would say that seems like a really clear ministry strength of ours that we have to offer? Fellowship meals? Okay. Yeah. And, yeah, that goes along with our retreating and, relationships. We're not a come here for an hour and zip home, without building relationships. Name strengths like this, that we're not perfect. And I'm sure within us, we could say, well, there's times I'm not sure I would agree that, you know, we practice that, you know, but, we need to acknowledge we're a work in progress, but we're seeing a clear bend in this direction, in these various directions. And how can we further develop these and expand and apply them to our present situation? So we'll continue to have this available. And I just, before I go down again, I just want to remind us there was something in the bulletin about every Thursday, we want to try to have a time of prayer from 12 to 1, where as many of us as possible can take that hour and devote it to prayer for our congregation. And if that's not a good hour, you know, God can handle prayers coming from different places. But it's nice to know that others are praying alongside of me with this. And this week, I'd especially direct us to pray to further be prayerful and quiet before the Lord and say, you know, Lord, what further reveal what we have to offer, what's been developed in our church identity that we might be able to further implement. And I also suggest in these prayer times, pray through the directory. There's something powerful about like naming every person and remembering everybody who's part of our congregation. And so to lift each other up in prayer. So speaking of prayer, would you pray with me as I close? Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are a creator God who makes all things well, that each one of us is a wonderful expression of your creative touch. And no matter what abilities we have and the measure of them, we are loved and we are cherished by you and by others just for who we are. But we thank you that you do nurture each one of us to glorify you and to serve others in a unique way with unique giftings and personality and character traits and heart. So continue to do that work within each one of us, but also within this body that is called Whitmer Heights. May we further be aware of who we are, what we have to offer, and show us the way to implement these things for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.